not easy to rent a dog sled on short notice, but that's what was necessary, and I made it in from Bellevue, ladies and gentlemen. The John Carlson Show is live.
You got the whitest knuckles I've ever seen, John. Is this something you want to share?
Oh, we're all three of us in the booth made it in. So how about that? I will tell you, the first time I applied my brakes, it was like I hit a button that said, please slide. Luckily, there was no car coming from the other direction. But do get to where you're going, but take your time.
Or just stay home.
Take
Everything
your
is
time.
A standstill. Came from Hood Canal. A few snowflakes left the driveway. Okay, nothing on the road. By the time I got to Belfair, 10 miles, blizzard all the way to my ferry boat. Thank you, everybody at Southworth, for getting me on that boat. We left a lot of people on the dock. A lot of semis needed to get to Vashon, and we had to back them up in the snow to get on the ferry boat.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, that was
I bet no motorcycles on the ferry boat this time.
I guess they took your advice there, Cycle Mama Johnny.
All right, Philip J. made it in as well. Of course, he only had a few miles to go from Lake City.
So. I can say, I had two blocks where there was snow on the side street, and then once you get up to Lake City Way, it's easy.
So, again, we will be bringing you all the traffic news that we hear. If there's anything you know about, you know, any accident or, you know, lines are down or, you know, trees obstructing or whatever, text us. Let us know. We'll pass along the information to our listeners. 206-421-5757. 206-421-5757.
Right now, just reporting 405 northbound, shut down in Bellevue, yet there's tons of cars sitting on the road, just not going anywhere, John.
405 North.
In Bellevue.
Through Bellevue. 405, of course, north is the major I-90? Artery on the east side that goes from Renton, Kent, all the way north on the east side through Bellevue, through Bothell, curls around Lake Forest Park, all the way up to I-5.
Looks like 2 or 3 inches on the side roads. Watch the off-ramps and the on-ramps, too, everybody.
Okay, so again, it's in Bellevue. 405 just appears to be a parking lot. There you go. Again, we'll pass along any information we get, 206-421-5757, because we look out for each other. And a radio legend does point out, if you really don't need to get to where you're going, maybe wait for a little while. Wait for a little while. All right. One of the reasons we all had to make sure we got here is that on Wednesday, of course, it's our legendary lyric, almost world famous contest, and we got to get ready for that.
Legendary.
You know how this contest works. I read you the lyric from a classic hit song, and then we will play that lyric going in or coming back from commercial break sometime this morning. And when you hear us play it, you'll be caller number 10. And when you do, a nice little treat for you.
Starting to get some attention of some of the popular concert venues on this again, John, for the whole new year. Right off the bat, Daniel's Broiler, Prime Steaks and Seafood, $50 gift card. You choose 4 locations, downtown Seattle, Bellevue, Lushi, South Lake Union. They do online reservations for a table and takeout, delivery. You can see the menu and all the spirits they offer. Daniel'sBroiler.com. John, Phil, we've got an artist named Darius Rucker.
Oh, yeah, Darius Rucker.
I've heard of this Darius Rucker.
Of course.
Washington State Fair, September 21st. Want to grab your own seats to Darius Rucker at the Washington State Fair. We got a little special going on. This American singer, songwriter, and musician. We're doing kind of like Code Word Radio. And you can get in on the early access pre-sale here on Wednesday today, beginning at 10 a.m. Otherwise, general tickets go on sale. Kind of a reminder of Darius and what you know him for.
Well, there's nothing I can do.
Back at the beginning, long ago. Now I'm a solo artist and just provides such a fun time. And I believe 2009, he was like New Artist of the Year. It's a lot of fun. And again, do you like that kind of sound of Hootie and the Blowfish? You're going to enjoy these tickets. Darius Rucker, along with Daniel's Broiler.
So a pair of tickets, choice tickets to Darius Rucker and the $50 gift card, our friends at Daniel's Broiler, one of the premier steakhouses in the country. We got four locations here in the United States, or in the Puget Sound area, Seattle area. Okay.
Washington State Fair, by the way, September 21st are the tickets.
Okay. Yeah. So you get plenty of time to plan for that. And by the way, you'll get free fair admission as well for that. So here is your lyric. It is from a hit song, 1975. Yes, I actually named the year itself. It was a hit.
Very specific clue.
Okay. But it's not going to be an easy one for you. Here we go. This is the lyric. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. One more time. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Where have you heard that lyric? From this classic song, and by the way, classic album as well. That's as much as I'm going to tell you. And we will play it sometime this morning. Make sure you are caller number 10, 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. We'll get into local news here in a moment, but first of all, once again, the culture continues to change in a good direction. One of the things that has been increasingly annoying to football fans when you're watching a game on TV is a player will score a touchdown, and at the end of the end zone, there will be emblazoned in huge block lettering at the end of the end zone, "End racism." And, you know, same thing at the other end of the end zone. End racism, as if we're awash in racism. The NFL has been displaying that message since 2020. Other messages they have had and display from time to time is, "It takes all of us. Choose love. Inspire change." In other words, positive things. But they also, "Stop hate. End racism." Okay. Why am I bringing this up? Because they are not going to use that message in the back of the end zone in the Super Bowl. They have made the decision at the NFL that there are more uplifting messages. NFL spokesman Brian McCarthy said that, quote, "We felt it was an appropriate statement for what the country has collectively endured given recent tragedies and can serve as an inspiration." So instead, the words on the, at the end of the end zone, I don't know why they even need any words at the back of the end zone, if you want to know my opinion. Anyway, "Choose love" will be at the end of one end zone, and "It takes all of us" will be at the end of the other end zone. So the choice to not have the words "end racism" was clearly deliberate. It was at the in the NFL championship game in Philadelphia. They had the "end racism" message at the end of the end zone. President Trump will be attending the game as guest of the New Orleans Saints owner, Gail Benson. And again, the NFL says, because of recent events, I'm assuming they're talking about the terrible fires and the in LA and the hurricanes in North Carolina and the awful mid-air collision in Washington, D.C., the helicopter and the plane, and, of course, the plane accident a few days later in Philadelphia. Sounds to me like a good idea. But I don't know why they aren't emphasizing a positive, more uplifting message in the first place rather than jarring people with stop hate and end racism. All right. Thought you would find that interesting. Boy, do we have a lot we got to talk about that's happening. Again, Trump is just doing things at such rapid fire. What's such a rapid fire clip? That you have trouble keeping up. Let us start. We'll get local here in about 20 minutes, but let us start with his comments about Gaza. Here's Como 4's press coverage of the Trump media conference.
President Trump says he wants the U.S. to take ownership of Gaza and redevelop it. He made the comments during a joint news conference today with Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu after their meeting at the White House. Trump suggested it would promote stability in the Middle East. Netanyahu called it an avenue worth pursuing, saying it could change history.
The U.S. will take over the Gaza Strip, and we will do a job with it, too. We'll own it. And be responsible for dismantling all of the dangerous unexploded bombs and other weapons on the site.
President Trump said that all 2 million Palestinians should be moved to countries like Jordan and Egypt.
Well, yes. Jordan and Egypt is where they are originally from and where they ought to be. However, those countries don't want to take refugees from Gaza. Because they don't want Hamas in their country. So I don't think that that's going to happen. Secondly, I think Trump's idea of doing a deep clean, of clearing the rubble and rebuilding, and having the United States in charge of the project so it gets done in a timely manner rather than taking place over the next, 17, 18 years, it makes sense. But it's not going to happen if there's political opposition to it in Gaza, and there will be political opposition to it in Gaza. And it's a shame that there is. They should welcome the United States coming in, and like I said, the first thing we would do is start clearing the rubble. And Trump is correct, is that the Gaza Strip could be the Riviera of the Middle East. It could be. They've got 25 miles of shoreline on the Mediterranean Sea. It's amazing what you could do, the things you could do with that real estate. It could be a destination resort area, like Beirut used to be, quite frankly.
Yeah, Beirut used to be a very popular destination in that respect, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think Donald Trump, you might remember, he made the same point during his first term when he visited North Korea. And, New York developer, he couldn't help himself. He's with Kim Jong-un, and he gestures toward the shoreline. He said, you know what you could do here with all right. This land. Yeah. The potential here is amazing.
The real estate developer instincts just kick in, right?
But, Kim Jong-un, not.
Right.
If you look at a overhead satellite image of the Korean Peninsula, because there's no natural boundary between North and South Korea. It's a political boundary, right?
You're talking about the 38th parallel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On one side of the parallel at night, you'll see lots of lights. It's, South Korea, Seoul, South Korea at night. Think of any major European, American, or Asian city at night. And then right next door, North Korea, black.
Utter darkness, yeah.
Just darkness. And, maybe a little glimmer here and a little glimmer there.
When Trump made these White House comments yesterday, my antenna started to buzz, and this would be a horrible idea for the U.S. to try and do what Trump was talking about yesterday, strictly from the fact that that would enable Gaza residents and Palestinians there to not take ownership and not be invested in them rejecting Hamas, because Hamas is the albatross around their neck. And from the Trump administration, from President Trump himself, his message to everybody in Gaza, all the Palestinians, should be, if you want to have a real life, you can have a real life. You can even have your own country. You have to reject Hamas. Full stop.
Get rid of.
And that needs to be the focus of what Trump is saying. Not this, well, you know, we could help you out. We could
we'll take it over.
We could help you.
We'll own it. No.
But this whole idea of, you know, the U.S. own it, that's just a horrible, horrible idea.
And, you know, and obviously it's not, you know, a serious, you know, proposal. We are going to take ownership. We are going to start doing the following day. No. What he should say, Philip Jay's got it exactly right, is to tell the people of Gaza, you know what? You get rid of Hamas, and we'll put the muscle of the United States behind helping to rebuild.
We can be partners in this.
We can help clear all of this rubble. We can help rebuild, but not if you're going to launch Nazi attacks on Israel. Not if you're going to give your political loyalty to Hamas. Get rid of the crazies. Recognize Israel. We'll help you rebuild. You have the potential to have a great country here. But again, they won't. They won't, because they are dug in. And frankly, to put it bluntly, they're just not used to winning. I mean, they're used to fighting, and they're used to attacking, and they're used to hating. They literally bring up their kids to hate Jews. Have you seen the textbooks?
And then probably the U.S. right after that.
Yeah, well, they hate the Jews, and they hate the Americans because we support Israel's right to exist. Hamas not only hates the Jews, they hates Americans, they hate Muslims who acknowledge Israel's got a right to a homeland there. So, again, this is an ideology, a movement that is marinated, deeply steeped in hatred. So, for that reason, they will never agree to what President Trump would like to do. And again, it's a shame, because you could help so many people live such better lives, and it simply is not going to happen. All right, you got 21 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. Yes, we're all here. We made it, and we already got our legendary lyric contest up and running. It is from a hit song, not a big hit, but a hit song from a hit album in 1975. Here is the lyric. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Where have you heard that lyric? We will play it sometime this morning. When you do hear it, be caller number 10, 206-421-5757. And we got Darius Rucker tickets next September, and we've also got a nice $50 gift card for you to Daniel's Broiler Steakhouse. All right. It's a busy morning. The commute is upon us. Take your time getting to where you are. We'll be right here for you. Philip J's got the social media sweep right around the corner.
The moment I wake up, before I pull on my makeup, I say a little prayer for you. And while combing my hair now, and wondering what dress to wear now, I say a little prayer for you.
Now we're having so much fun. You treated me so kind. I'm about to lose my mind. You made me so very happy. I'm so glad you came into my life.
I believe this is a former legendary lyric song. Let's
wait. A while ago.
I believe you're right, yes.
From the collection.
I just think this is one of the greatest songs of all time.
It is. It just makes you feel good when you're stuck on the freeway in the snow, doesn't it, John?
and you hear the song, you may be so very happy and you think of me. So, anyway. All right. Is it David Clayton Thomas?
Bingo.
Oh, very good. All right, Philip J. Vandenbort III, what do we got going in the social media world?
A little bit of everything. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. Hat tip on Brandy Cruz for this one. I think maybe she had a whistleblower of some kind. Brandy Cruz, the Undivided podcast host, mm-hmm. was forwarded an email signed by the sheriff of King County, Patricia Cole Tindall, Patty Cole Tindall. But what's unique about this email is that it has an admission of the sheriff of King County mm-hmm. to the Department of Public Safety that has the following line about trying to lift a property tax lid so that property taxes could be increased for King County.
Right.
And the
By the way, just context, right now you can only raise property taxes in a jurisdiction, meaning a county.
Mm-hmm.
1% a year, unless the public votes for more than that.
Okay.
The legislature is trying to lift that to 3%.
Now,
triple.
Was that
what they can now do?
Lid something that a Tim Iman initiative passed, or
yes,
am I misremembering?
Yes, it used to be 6% a year, and they always took 6%
yeah, right?
every year.
Yeah.
And then an Iman initiative, frankly, one of his best, yeah. Dropped that to 1% plus new construction.
Okay.
And it's been that way ever since.
Yeah.
And so now the Democrats are going to try and lift it up to 3.
So here are the operative sentences in the Sheriff Tindall, Cole Tindall email. Quote, we are working closely with state legislators on efforts to lift the 1% property tax cap. If successful, this will help increase the general fund, which in turn will help support how we as an agency are funded. And Brandy Cruz got a hold of this and pointed it out. All because King County, like the state of Washington, can't stick to a budget.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Just excellent reporting and information from Brandy and the Undivided podcast.
King County's budget and revenue has soared well beyond the rate of inflation for years. But again, the problem with King County is that they can't govern. They don't know how to govern effectively and live within their means, and they keep just spending more money. Someone very high up in politics told me he saw their DEI, the number of DEI people earning over six-figure salaries. He said it's just stunning, as if you need that in King County, the most liberal county in the state.
Yeah.
But again, just one more sign of King County just trying to stick it to people.
Yeah. In my continuing coverage of Black History Month, I present to you...
Yes.
Lonnie Johnson, American inventor, engineer, aerospace engineer, entrepreneur. In 1986, Lonnie Johnson received a patent for what we now know as the Super Soaker Squirt Gun. How much joy has that brought to people's lives?
Oh. Got a collection myself in the book.
I've got a couple of those in the house.
Absolutely.
For my son and my nieces and nephews.
What a great American.
Lonnie Johnson, African American, an inventor. Invented the best-selling Super Soaker water gun in 1989. That's kind of when it went on sale. He got the patent in 86.
Good for him.
Formerly employed by the United States Air Force and NASA, he worked at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory as well. He is 75 years young right now.
Congratulations,
yes.
And thank you for some great
important
memories.
Story to know.
Not people on the receiving end of the Super Soaker may not always... be glad that it's invented.
More toys for big boys, I say.
Absolutely. It's a wonderful, wonderful toy. You've made summers a lot more fun for a lot of people. Thank you, Dr. Johnson, or Mr. Johnson, whatever. Thank you for the Super Soaker. It is 31 minutes after 6 o'clock in the morning. We get local on the John Carlson Show coming right up.
In a white room with black curtains, near the station. Black roof country, no gold payments, tired starlings.
You got 23 minutes now to 7 o'clock in the morning. Yes, we all made it in. Now, that doesn't mean you have to get in your car and go to where you're going. We're not trying to put peer pressure on you. In fact, if you do go anywhere, hey, take your time.
Bingo. That's the perfect advice.
I definitely took my time.
Plan for extra time.
Snow routes for King County Metro. They'll stop at the bottom or up on top if they feel safe enough to go all the way up the hills. Think of that.
Yeah, because I will tell you this much. When I applied my brakes coming out of the side street onto the main avenue where I live, I slid all the way through the intersection. Thank God there was no car coming the other direction. I mean, it is slick out there, so do be careful, be cautious. Give yourself extra time if you do choose to go out. All right. And look on the bright side. If it's a longer trip, it's more time with me. All right. This is one of the most annoying stories, the way it was framed, that I have read in a long time. As you know, the Trump administration, through his border czar, Tom Homan, is carrying out a very successful and long, long overdue deportation of people in the country illegally, starting with illegals who are criminals, followed by illegals who are security risks, followed by illegals who have received due process and have been ordered out of the country by an immigration judge, and they just blew off the order. They just ignored the judge. They're going to stay here, which I find particularly galling. But anyway, on Whidbey Island, there was an ICE raid, and they get a guy in a laundromat who was taken into custody. All right, so this is someone who's basically a fugitive from justice. They haven't yet told us what his criminal record is, but they hopefully will in short order. So, what was the headline in the story? Quote, parent of South Whidbey student arrested by ICE. School district vows to protect school community. Close quote. Unfreaking believable. They're trying to turn this into imply that the school district itself is now being targeted by ICE. School district had nothing to do with this raid. Anyway, here is Michelle Esteban on Como 4.
Quaintness can now add an ICE raid to its story.
Having one of the first incidents in the area happen in Langley just really does show that it can happen anywhere.
And that's not all. School Board President Brooke Williford says ICE arrested one of their students' parents.
Taken away with no warning and no real firm details. So suddenly was very shocking.
I couldn't imagine. I really couldn't, like, being without your parent.
Jennifer Marcelinas has two young kids in the district, just 9 and 12.
It heartbreaks me, and it makes me shake in my boots.
Well, it makes you shake in your boots, does it? Okay. First of all, why are they even talking about the school? Why is the school commenting on this? There are a number of kids in school whose parents are engaged in criminal activity who get arrested, who get picked up. You don't see articles about, you know, parent of Kirkland student arrested by King County Police, or parent of Tacoma student arrested by FBI. They would simply say, you know, FBI arrests so-and-so for drug trafficking or so-and-so outstanding warrant on robbery and embezzlement charges. Since when do you bring the kids into it? Why is Como bringing the kids into it? They have nothing to do, the school district and the kid of this guy they have arrested, have nothing to do with the arrest. Okay, you've got a father in the country illegally who's obviously high up there on the list of illegals with criminal activity. So they have arrested him. All right, fine. And instead, they're now trying to frame this as our school community is endangered by this. This is such unadulterated garbage. Here's the rest of the story.
The district won't reveal anything about the student or what school he attended in South Whidbey, but
who cares about the student? The student has nothing to do with this. This is no different than the many, many times a year where police arrest somebody, police, federal authorities, state patrol, county deputies arrest somebody for criminal behavior who may or may not have kids in school. What are you supposed to do? Tell people, oh, if you have kids, we'll never arrest you. So this whole thing of trying to build this up into a school issue is, to me, just, you know, it's such an attempt to manipulate people's feelings.
We did learn the arrest came in the middle of the day, reportedly here at a laundromat, Elliot Lariz's laundromat. He says he feels for the student left behind, but as for their busted parent, he has questions. He wants to know
if they're like a bad person.
The district superintendent telling the community that a school parent, quote, had fallen victim to the immigration raids.
The guy they picked up is a victim? The illegal who likely has a criminal history is a victim? Again, this is just so outrageous.
And that they will do everything to protect students no matter their citizenship.
Yeah, why don't you try and make his bail?
There's been mixed reactions since the superintendent's letter was posted, a split between those outraged and others who appreciate the ICE arrest.
Damn straight. Again, this is the problem with, you got to understand something about Whidbey Island. Okay, it's a very long island. South Whidbey Island, Langley here, may as well be a Seattle suburb, like, you know, Bainbridge Island, or, you know, like Mercer Island.
Edmonds
up to the north. Okay, it tends to be, South Whidbey tends to be very liberal. Then as you drive north, the Seattle suburb disappears, and pretty soon you find yourself in military town country. And, you know, Coopville. And the Whidbey Island Naval Air Station. And so it becomes kind of a military town. It's a very interesting political dichotomy there on Whidbey Island, north to south. But the attempt to try and frame this as an education issue is absolutely ridiculous. There are, I am guessing, thousands of kids whose parents are arrested every year, and this is no different from that. So this whole thing, he's fallen victim to the ICE raids. No, they picked up someone who is more likely a criminal, not a victim of anything. You are listening to The Commute with Carlson, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You've got 13 minutes to 7 o'clock, which means a quick check-in with our good buddy Lars Larson, our Noon to 3 host on The John Carlson Show. And we will once again read you the lyric of our legendary lyric contest of the week, which is going on right now. Stay tuned. It's we
gonna jump for joy. Come on without, come on within. You will not see nothing.
We're back on the John Carlson Show. It is 8 minutes to 7 o'clock on the John Carlson Show. Our legendary lyric comes from a hit song, though I will acknowledge kind of a mild hit, from a hit album, number one album in the country back in 1975. This is your lyric. When you hear us play it going in or coming back from commercial break, be caller number 10. Some nice prizes coming your way. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Where have you heard that lyric? I guarantee you have. When you do hear it, be caller number 10. Right now, you get to hear Lars Larson on The John Carlson Show. Good morning, Lars.
Good morning, John. And there is no truth to the rumor that Donald Trump plans to evacuate the 2 million Palestinians, friendly people, if you've checked with their neighbors, and relocate them to West Seattle.
It's tempting as it might be. But I was just telling listeners about a half hour ago, you know, it would actually, if Trump were offering this as a carrot, if you will, to say to the Palestinian people, hey, get rid of Hamas, acknowledge Israel's right to exist, and we'll help you rebuild Gaza.
And by the way, John,
but that'll never happen.
Gaza gets used. I mean, people refer to Gaza all the time. I've been to the edge of Gaza. Okay, I mean, I've not been inside of Gaza, but I've been to the edge. That place is a hell of a beautiful piece of real estate.
Yeah.
It is 5 miles wide, 25 miles long, and it sits on the gorgeous Mediterranean Ocean. And anybody else who looked at that piece of land and forgot that there was a terrorist organization running it would say, that's a perfect place to put about 40 big hotels, restaurants, shops, stores, and there would be economic prosperity, the likes of which you might never have seen. Think of all the garden spots, the world.
You're on the Mediterranean Sea.
Yeah.
It could, you know, Beirut used to be a tourist.
What was that called? It was called the Riviera.
The Monte Carlo of the Middle East or something. But Beirut used to have that reputation.
Yeah.
You could do that, and of course, it won't happen because the people who live in Gaza are just steeped, marinated, deep baked.
All the way
hatred.
From elementary school up, taught the Jews are evil, they must die.
The Americans are evil, the Christians are evil, they must leave or they must die. And that's all they are about.
And I'm sorry, but a lot of Americans view it as the Hatfields and the McCoys or some longstanding feud that's been going. Fact is,
no.
Jews have been there for 6,000 years. That's documented. Yeah. Palestinians came in the 1960s. Yasser Arafat got very rich on the PLO. It is now the PA that runs the West Bank and Hamas that runs Gaza. And the fact that the local population elected Hamas, a terrorist organization, it'd be like if the people of Chicago had elected Al Capone to run the place, and then you complain about all the violence. Well, guess what? You voted for this bunch.
Yeah, you know, they voted for them only once. You know, that's how democracy often works in the Middle East. One election, one time, that's it.
And there are people who think that all they want is a piece of property. No, they want the Jews dead.
Yeah.
I mean, if I moved into a neighborhood and I got along with all my neighbors, but my next door neighbor had a beef with me, and I went to him and said, what's the problem? And what will solve it? He said, what will solve it is when you are dead and your family is gone and you no longer live in that house. And I say, oh, well, if that's our starting point, we don't have a conversation.
Yeah, really. What do we negotiate from there? You know, where do we go from there? That's actually a good analogy, Lars Larson. Always with great analogy, great insight, great analysis, and a lot of great fun. The Lars Larson Show every day from noon to 3. Let's get ready for hour number 2 of The Commute. Oh, yeah, you're just joining us. Do not worry. We all made it in, ladies and gentlemen, because you deserve it. The Commute with Carlson coming to you live, as we do every day of the work week from 6 to 9 here at Talk Radio 570 KVI. Philip J. Vandervoort III, our chief executive, senior chief executive producer, and, of course, radio legend Mark Christopher. And since it's Wednesday, another reason we absolutely positively had to be here, it's our legendary lyric contest, almost world famous legendary lyric contest.
Legendary!
Where I read you the lyric from a hit song, and when you hear that song being played, and it will be playing it sometime within the next hour and a half, you be caller number 10. 206-421-5757. That's 206-421-5757. And some nice goodies coming your way.
Yeah, people like the fact, John, you don't have to text a word or just get in a drawing. You actually have to work hard at something to get such prizes here. Can I share Daniel's Broiler? You love it. So do they. In giving this $50 gift card away, four locations. You got Bellevue, downtown, Leschi, South Lake Union, Choice Steaks, USDA Choice. This is a steakhouse of beyond all. All right?
They've really
got,
is great.
Yeah, they got the seafood, they got the party rooms and the whole bit. I love the
great
fact.
Great ambience, great service. Yeah. Everything is good. You know, sometimes you go to a steakhouse and the steak is good, everything else, eh.
Yeah.
But Daniel, the salads, incredible. The side dishes.
The staff and the atmosphere.
The staff.
Daniel's Broiler.com. You can do online reservations. And again, because this is such a favorite, John, we've got tickets here already for the Washington State Fair among the lineup for this year. One, Darius Rucker, let me explain, became the first Black American to win the New Artist Award from the Country Music Association in 2009. 1986, University of Southern Carolina with Mark Bryan, and a few others decided on an idea for a group. Do you remember these guys? Hootie and the Blowfish, Darius lead singer. That's his voice right there.
Well, Darius Rucker, he's part of the generation that helped popularize country rock.
Yes.
Where he fused country to rock music.
Yeah, September 21st, John said, includes your fair admission, Washington State Fair, two tickets. Thank you. TheFair.com. Tickets, by the way, pre-sale if you use code word radio, because you're a listener of KVI today. 10 a.m. Get in for the pre-sale if you just want to buy some tickets for friends after you win, of course, too. Otherwise, Friday, general admission.
All right. Again, Darius Rucker tickets and a $50 gift card to Daniel's Broiler, four locations. This is from, as I said, a hit song from a number one hit album, 1975. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. So obviously this is a pretty skillful songwriter. There's another hint for you. Someone who's written lots of popular songs. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. Okay. Those are all the hints I'm going to give you. Again, we'll be playing it sometime soon. All right, there's so much Trump stuff going on beyond whether or not we should colonize Gaza. No. however, if only they could, you know, get past Hamas, get past their intolerance of Jews in Jerusalem, where they have been for many thousands of years, so they could get past all that. We could help them rebuild Gaza, and it would be wonderful, but they can't get past it, so I don't think we should help them. All right. Have you noticed that every single Trump appointee to the cabinet has been confirmed by the Senate so far? Only one candidate has dropped out, and that was, of course, Matt Gaetz, who was Donald Trump's first choice for attorney general. But I have half a feeling there was some political thinking behind that, that is not at all displeased that he did not get the job and is no longer in Congress. Because he resigned after he got the appointment. Harry Enten is the CNN numbers guy. He's their polling expert. He went on yesterday with John Kirby, CNN, and he predicted that all of Trump's appointees, all of them now, that would include not only, well, Pete Hegseth's already been confirmed, but think about Tulsi Gabbard, think about RFK Jr. He said they're all going to get it. Again, this is John Berman and Harry Enten. Let's go ahead and play that audio for you.
Plus, their numbers, their chances have been rising. Tulsi Gabbard specifically to be the National Intel Director. She's up to, get this, a 92% chance. A week ago, she was closer to 52%, but as some Republican senators have come out, like Susan Collins, in support of her, her chances have gone through the roof. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to be the HHS Secretary, he's up to 82%. Again, that is also higher than it was a week ago. At this particular point, the two most controversial picks remaining for Donald Trump seem to see their prospects going through the roof at this hour.
What about the field, as it were?
What about the field? So the remaining picks, chance of Trump's picks being confirmed, the average besides Gabbard and RFK, you can't really get much higher than 99%. So look, there's a chance, I guess, you know, a one in a million, basically, or a one in 100 in this particular case, that one of the remaining picks do not get confirmed. But the bottom line at this hour is RFK Jr., Tulsi Gabbard look likely to be confirmed, and the rest of the field looks really, really, really likely to be confirmed.
So in the end, although we're not there yet, but imagine for a second we were at the end here,
yes,
looking back on all of Donald Trump's nominations, some of which were very controversial. How did he do in terms of getting them through?
Yeah, you know, Matt Gaetz obviously decided to step aside, and that's the one so far, the one cabinet pick who was withdrawn or rejected. I looked at all first or, of course, the second non-consecutive term in the case of Trump, and compared that to the average presidential first term since 1993, where there were three picks that were either withdrawn or rejected. Donald Trump, simply put, is winning on this metric. Only one pick so far has been withdrawn or rejected, and that looks like it's going to hold through the rest of this. We'll have to wait and see, but the bottom line is Trump's picks have been doing better than the average in terms of getting through the United States Senate. Simply put, in a word, he's winning.
And, you know, all these progressives, all these more partisan Democrats who are watching Harry Enten, their head is probably exploding because he is so right. Now, just last week, it was looking pretty shaky for Tulsi Gabbard. And as you heard, she had, you know, a little better than 50-50 chance of getting confirmed. And now her chances have dramatically increased. There were two Republican holdouts who are concerned about Tulsi Gabbard's comments about Edward Snowden, which we'll get to in just a minute. One of them was Susan Collins, moderate Republican from Maine. Moderate Republican is as good as you're going to get from Maine, by the way. I mean, it's just that part of the country. You're not going to get an Oklahoma-type Republican from the state of Maine. So Susan Collins. And the other was Todd Young. Todd Young is a Republican senator from Indiana, and he not only is a former Marine, United States Marine, he's a former Marine Corps intelligence officer. So Edward Snowden, as you know, is a notorious national security leaker. He leaked vast amounts of data and intelligence in his national security post, and some of those posts got people who were aligned with the United States, think people in Afghanistan who are on our side. Some of those people reportedly were killed when their names surfaced when Edward Snowden just dumped all this data for everyone to see. So a number of people think that Edward Snowden should be tried for treason. Other people think that he's a hero. He's not a hero. And what he did was illegal, and he knew it at the time. Okay, so what happened? What happened to flip these votes of these reluctant Republicans in the direction of voting aye rather than nay? Well, it turns out, you know, it wasn't Donald Trump getting on the phone and hollering at them. J.D. Vance spent the weekend, last weekend, having several conversations with Senator Young, again, the Marine Corps intelligence officer. Senator Young said that J.D. Vance helped the senator get written assurance from Tulsi Gabbard about her views on several national security matters and whistleblowers. He said, frankly, it seemed to be effective on his end in getting me the sort of concessions that were required to vote yes. He delivered for me, and I'm grateful for that. And so, for that reason, Todd Young joined Susan Collins in voting aye, and that cleared him out of the Senate Intelligence Committee, and it also paved the way for her confirmation approval, which is now expected. But, you know, good work, J.D. Vance. Again, J.D. Vance is just turning out to probably overperform expectations more than just about anyone in politics. I mean, he was outstanding in his debate with, quick, who can name the Democratic nominee for vice president in the last election? Who remembers who the Democrats' again? Nominee
two
was?
2 months ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Walls?
Yeah.
Nodding his head. Yep.
So many people have already put him out of their mind. Tim Walz, the soon-to-be-forgotten governor of Minnesota.
Who does J.D. remind you of all the tracking you've done of politics and politicians over the years for young people? Have we ever had anybody like this kind of style before?
He really is, in many ways, an American original. I have been a huge fan of his since I read his book 7 years ago.
And what's that book?
Hillbilly Elegy.
Ah, yeah.
Where this is a guy who grew up, it would have been regarded by, you know, a lot of people who look down on folks like that as white trash. Grew up in hillbilly country, Appalachia. Had a drug addict mom. Grew up around a lot of violence. A lot of his friends died from drugs. There's a lot of misery and not much hope in the small town he grew up in. But he had a grandmother, a tough-as-nails grandmother. You talk about tough love. He calls her Mama. She was a tough one. And she had no time to be a victim.
The grandma or the mom?
The grandma was called Mama.
Meemaw, I think.
What's that?
I think it was Meemaw that he called. Yeah, at least in the movie, that's how it was
And
phrased.
That's right. They made a movie out of the book with Amy Adams. And was it Glenn Close who played Meemaw?
That's right. Yeah.
Title, please. I like movies.
Hillbilly Elegy. It's on Netflix.
Thank you.
And he had a very tough life, but he was smart. And she insisted that he study. Now, she herself was no scholar, but she just knew he had a gift, and she knew the only way that gift was going to be ignited is if he went to school. So she basically was an ass kicker, you know? Get your butt out of bed, get to school, that kind of tough love. And he did well. he ended up in the going into the military, and then he made it to Ohio State, the Ohio State University, and excelled. And from there, Yale, where he had, here's a familiar name to some of you, a law school faculty advisor named Amy Chua. Amy Chua. Remember that book, The Tiger Mom?
Oh, sure, yeah, the title. Yeah, I'd forgotten that that was
she saw
her
that,
work.
That he was an unpolished gem. I mean, you know, at a dinner that he was invited to as a you know, incoming Yale law student, it was, you know, formal dinner, you know, white linen placement, and, you know, you got three or four forks and knives, and he looks at her and he says, I don't know which fork to use. It's a charming anecdote in the book. And she helped him along and was his mentor. And he went on to graduate with honors, made some money, and then went into politics. But I have always been a huge fan of J.D. Vance. And I did not want him to be the vice presidential nominee.
I remember that.
I wanted Glenn Youngkin, yeah. Governor Youngkin, because I thought Governor Youngkin would put the state of Virginia in play. And I said, J.D. Vance, he just got elected to the Senate. He's still in his 30s. And we've got Ohio. Trump's going to win Ohio. Come on, we need to grow the map. Get Virginia on board.
Could J.D. Vance have helped a bit with Pennsylvania? Because Pennsylvania
yes.
was close. And you
and
know,
that is the brilliance of Team Trump.
West Virginia
they
butts
thought,
up against
and Michigan.
Parts of Pennsylvania.
The industrial swing states. They said he will connect with people in those states, particularly Pennsylvania, which is coal mining country. And also a natural gas fracking territory. But anyway, J.D. Vance was exceptional in the campaign trail. Have you seen him in these interviews? Oh, my goodness, to see how he absolutely owned Margaret Brennan on Face of the Nation just a week ago Sunday.
Very smooth, very calm.
And yeah. very much in command. So J.D. Vance helps get Tulsi Gabbard over the finish line. Now it's predicted that RFK Jr. is going to be confirmed as well, which means all of Trump's nominees who came up before the Senate for confirmation made it. That's absolutely got to be driving the Democrats.
Is that the norm? Do all usually make it?
Usually, sometimes there's someone who
shuffled or two.
Yeah, mm-hmm. but they usually drop out. I mean, Matt Gaetz dropped out early on, but again, I think there may have been a long game being played. And I'm glad that Matt Gaetz is not going to be the Attorney General, and I'm not displeased that he's not going to be in Congress. He was oftentimes doing stuff that was helping the other side. Maybe not intentionally, but effectively, that was the result. Oh, my goodness, 7:22. You know what that means. Philip J. Vandenberg III right around the corner of social media suite. Brian Haywood going to be joining us a little while longer on the show in about 15 minutes as the Commute with Carlson continues this snowy Wednesday morning. Glad you're with us.
I can't stop this feeling.
No, this is not the social
deep inside
of me. The legendary lyric song. Hooga Chaka would be a little obvious, I think.
No, you couldn't say Hooga Chaka. You actually have to sing that, John.
You'd have to pick different lyrics. But yeah, right.
Chaka, Hooga, Hooga, Hooga Chaka.
Anyway, your legendary lyric, which we're going to have within the hour. When you hear it, be the 10th caller, 206-421-5757. Here's your legendary lyric. We'll play it going in or coming back from commercial break. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. There you go. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. All right, Philip J. Vandervoort III, never an illusion. Right there all the time with the social media suite.
Let's talk about the fallout from this crash of the medevac airplane into a Philadelphia neighborhood.
Oh, that was so sad. Yeah.
And we're learning now about the story of a 10-year-old boy who was injured, hit with shrapnel, had to go to surgery when that plane crashed into a busy street corner. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. I'm looking at a post from a Philadelphia TV station. And it says, 10-year-old boy wakes up from emergency brain surgery after being injured by Philadelphia plane crash. Mary Catherine Hamm, who's a conservative commentator, passed along this summary of what we know so far. The kid was out picking up donuts with dad, shields his sister from shrapnel from a plane crash in the parking lot, ends up in emergency brain surgery, wakes up to ask if he saved his sister, and then wanted to know if the Eagles had played in the Super Bowl yet. Here's a story from an ABC affiliate in Philadelphia.
At least 24 people were injured at the crash site, among them 10-year-old Trey Howard, his father describing the scene.
Just hear a loud bang and then a ball of fire. I turn around, he has metal outside of his head.
Trey is now recovering from emergency brain surgery to remove the metal from his head. When he awoke, his dad says he had one thing on his mind.
Asked me, Daddy, what's today? Like, Monday. Okay, wait. We didn't play yesterday, did we? No, you didn't miss the Super Bowl.
So there's one of the things that
the 10-year-old
was wondering about.
Absolutely.
And to that I say, go Eagles, and why not beat the Kansas City Chiefs and fulfill that 10-year-old's recovery? How about that?
God, is he able to get to the game if somebody decided to do something very special?
A lot of people are wondering, will Eagles do some sort of gesture? Or
will this be third time again?
Yeah, this could be a historic Super Bowl. Yeah.
First time a team has won three Super Bowls in a row, or will it be Philadelphia Eagle?
Yeah.
I was going to say upset, but actually the Eagles are
it's going to be close.
Are stomping all over their competition in the playoffs.
Yeah. Let's get back to the USAID, Agency for International Development story, and whether or not this money gets pulled back and frozen. Joni Ernst is the Iowa U.S. Senator. She posted on X, from funneling tax dollars to risky research in Wuhan to sending Ukrainians to Paris Fashion Week, USAID is one of the worst offenders of waste in Washington all around the world. This is why the president, Doge and Elon Musk are ending this nonsense. And this is another prime example of why government cannot and should not be a charity. Look at how much COVID relief money got wasted and turned into fraud. And, you know, we used to hear about it in the 70s or the 80s with the phrase welfare queen. But that was just, you know, pennies on the dollar to how much is getting wasted now. But if there is a need to send Ukrainians to Paris Fashion Week, let the private sector come up with that need. If you need DEI theater performances in Ireland and Peru and some of the other nations that you were talking about on yesterday's show, let the private sector come up with that. There is absolutely no reason for government to be involved in these financial and the financial support of these things that charities could be doing if there's really a demand for it.
Well, I don't think you're going to get too many people disagree with that. That sounds very reasonable, which means a lot of people would disagree with it in Washington, D.C., at least on one side of the aisle. All right. You are listening to the radio program, A Record, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Very happy that Brian Haywood, who went and testified yesterday about against that bill that would essentially aim at gutting the initiative process, is going to be able to tell us what is going on. Again, that's Brian Haywood here, the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI.
When it fly high like a bird up in the sky, when it go round in circles.
that's not our legendary lyric now, is it? That's Jerry Rafferty.
This city desert makes you feel so cold.
Your legendary lyric, we're going to play it in less than an hour. When you hear it, be calling number 10. Nice prizes coming your way here, 206-421-5757. We'll play it in or coming back from commercial break. Here we go. So now I'm going back again. I got to get to her somehow. All the people we used to know, they're an illusion to me now. That was from a hit song from the number one album in 1975. So see if you can figure out what it is. As a bonus point, see if you can name the artist when we play it. All right. Yesterday, we're very fortunate to have Brian Haywood on the program with us. Brian Haywood, of course, the man who gave us seven great initiatives, four of which eventually became law. And the response from the Democratic majority in Olympia, and this is what happens when you have one-party regimes, they begin to find opponents annoying. They begin to find check and balances aggravating. And they don't like the initiative process anymore in Olympia. So there is an attempt under Senate Bill 5382 to basically find ways to make it easier to invalidate initiatives. And also, you notice I said not just initiative signatures, entire sheets with 20 names on them invalidated. And also spike the price of what it costs to conduct an initiative signature gathering effort. Again, Brian Haywood knows this world very well. Let's Go Washington got six initiatives through, and then they partnered with the Building Industry Association of Washington to get a seventh initiative, the Natural Gas Initiative, which ultimately passed at the polls, qualified as well. Brian Haywood, thanks for making the time to be with us again this morning.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here, and a big thank you to your audience who showed up online and signed in. It made a big difference.
Well, that's what we want to hear. The Democrats were kind of feeling their oats and thinking, you know, we just might have the votes to push this thing through. And as you pointed out on yesterday's show, it was an almost transparent attempt to discourage people from the initiative process by making it so easy to invalidate entire sheets of initiative petitions that are filled out.
Yeah, there were a couple points, right? One is that the signature gatherer now has the responsibility to sign on the back of the sheet, and they were making that a penalty if they didn't sign to it, a penalty of like $5,000 or up to 364 days in jail, if that signature gatherer didn't confirm that the person was registered to vote, and even more importantly, that they had read the initiative itself. And so I had a chance to testify yesterday, and I pointed out that there's no law requiring voters to read the ballot pamphlet or even the ballot itself. They can just mark things. There's no requirement to check that. Why in the world are we making it harder to gather signatures than it is to actually vote? It's just an insane standard.
And I loved your analogy. So you went to the hearing yesterday. Was it packed?
No, the room wasn't packed, but there were a lot of people online, and there were six items on the agenda. We were supposed to be like number two, and suddenly we got moved to number six, and they let all the other things go before us, eating up all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Eating up the time.
They had a state cactus. There's a group wanting to do a state cactus, which is fine. That's fine. And they had a bunch of really darling kids on there. The darling kids each testified, and it took, it was like 30 minutes of the time when you had our bill. They knew our bill was a hot topic because over 4,000 people signed in one way or the other, pro or con. And everything else, like the people that signed in, it was like 75 pro, 3 con or whatever, right? There was nothing else that was even close. So they moved ours to the very end. And then they're like, well, we're going to have to limit everybody's testimony to this small amount of time. And right. We're going to limit questions. And
it's an old trick in Olympia. They do it all the time.
Yeah.
And it's abusive. It really is abusive. I mean, when you have a lot of people who want to testify on an important bill, the ethical thing to do is to give it extra time.
Right. Not squeeze it to the back and then shorten everybody's time to talk. Mm-hmm. I can see, you know, like listening to 1,000 people might be overwhelming. But even so, we were able, quite a few people were able to speak, though, both for and against. We had the overwhelming win. We had 1,800 people that signed in against the bill. The SEIU union was only able to get about 1,200 people to sign in. So in the numbers, that's really...
Those numbers changed.
We dominated. They did. And that was a big thanks to your listeners and a shout out to everybody who got on and did something.
Beautiful, Brian. That's great. And how was your testimony received?
I think really well. You know, it's hard to tell, but you're looking for points that you score. I think the point that they were asking for a higher standard for signing, gathering signatures than they were for voting, landed. Interestingly, one of the points that landed was from a Chinese gentleman at the very end who does a lot of advocacy work, and it was a thought I wouldn't have had. He does a lot of work with the homeless who are allowed to vote, right, obviously, but they don't have an address. And the new requirements are that they had to do an address verification. And so his point was that this new requirement would disenfranchise or stop anyone that's homeless from being able to sign. And that one certainly hit the mark with the sort of lefties up there.
Yeah, with the progressive lefties. Oh, my God. Now the same were anti, where anti-homeless. That won't do.
No, so that one was sort of fun to watch. You know, it hit the marks.
Very good.
But there were some great people too that called in and were informed and represented very well. So,
well, I'm glad the hearing went well. Now, what are the prospects that this bill is going to be stalled? At least its momentum is going to be stalled, or maybe even derailed, Brian?
I'm optimistic about it getting pulled. I don't have a firm confirmation yet, and I was told nothing is dead until it's dead, and even then it's not dead in the legislature. Mm-hmm. But some inside sources suggested to us that there's a chance it might not make it out of committee, which would be a great thing. It's not decided yet, but it's a possibility. So as soon as we know that, we should know this week, because if it doesn't get pulled up Friday, it's been pulled.
Well, that's all the more reason, I think, for people to, of course, turn on the heat. When the momentum has now shifted in the right direction, in the correct direction, then pour on the heat and keep the momentum going. KVI listener Julia sent me an email. It said, John, I called the legislative hotline yesterday, and the young man who answered was very polite. He asked if I wanted to send a message to my 5th district, that's Issaquah Sammamish, 5th district reps, and I am glad that John Carlson prepped me on a show for what I should say. Thank you. So, yes, when you call the legislative hotline, which opens in 15 minutes, there will be a very nice, very patient, very helpful operator on the other end of the phone, and he or she will get your message sent in an email text to your state representatives and senators. If you forget their names, don't worry. The operator will know when you tell the operator where you're from. And so, you know, like Julia said, you know, I'm from Sammamish. Oh, that's in the 5th district. Here are your representatives. Here are your senator. Do you want one or all of them to get the message? It's just that simple. So pour it on. 800-562-6000. That is the number to the state legislative hotline. It's a free service. 800-562-6000. Tell the operator you want your representatives and senators, your senator, to oppose SB 5382. That's SB, as in Senate bill, SB 5382, vote no. Save the initiative process, vote no on SB 5382. Again, in 13 and a half minutes, those lines will open. And believe me, they do pay attention to responses to constituent correspondence from their districts, at least most of them. A few won't, but most of them actually do. And, Brian, while I have you here, I just want you to know I'm doing my show prep here this morning, and where do you think I spent some of my time? On Haywire.
I hope it was on Haywire, yeah.
Haywire.org is the brand new news service that Brian has designed and underwritten and launched. And if you want to know what's going on in the news media, all media, by the way, online media, radio, TV, print, just go to Haywire, that's H-E-Y, wire, haywire.org, and just scroll up and down, and you'll see all these stories, including stories that are updated today from yesterday. And if you scroll to the second half of the page, you see over 50 different publications, online podcasts and broadcasts, TV radio stations, and prominent media voices. And what do you know? There's the John Carlson Show right there. So
we should put a big star by that one.
Thank you very much, Brian Haywood. Again, call that legislative hotline in 12 minutes, 800-562-6000. Big time no, no on SB 5382. And then check out Haywire, with an E, haywire.org. Brian Haywood, thanks again so much for joining us today.
Thanks for keeping this on top of people's minds. And we've got, there's a lot more action coming in the House and Senate. So if they follow you or follow any of these, we'll try to keep them updated on things that the House and Senate's doing. Today, there's another one. Sorry to take time. They're hearing the destruction of 2081, the parental rights notification bill, which is bill number 1296, House bill 1296. Okay. They're having a hearing on it today, and I'll be down in Olympia again.
All right, 1296. Very good. We'll talk about that tomorrow, Brian, on The Commute with Carlson. It is 11 minutes to 8 o'clock. All right. Back we are, ladies and gentlemen. John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Congratulations, KVI listener Chuck in Burien. Well done, our legendary lyric winner. First-time winner. He's an occasional caller. I know he calls and texts from time to time. That's good for him. He wins the concert tickets, the $50 Daniel's Broiler gift card. Also wins tickets to Darius Rucker.
Yeah, I knew him from Hootie and the Blowfish. First black artist to get the country music first, what is it, brand new artist of the year.
Most promising artist or something like that. Yes.
Yeah, 2009, but anyway, it'd be a lot of fun to see him. Puyallup Fair, September 21st, includes fair admission.
John, so there's a little story
behind this song here.
This song. This is the song Tangled Up in Blue, which was on the Blood on the Tracks. Okay. Blood on the Tracks was Dylan's big comeback album, 1975.
Bob Dylan, okay.
Dylan had kind of retreated from public life in the late 60s and had a motorcycle accident and had a heroin habit he needed to kick. And he came back 1974 tour, which included two dates at the Seattle Center Coliseum, by the way, as it was called back then, sold out. Huge, successful tour. He was with the band, Bob Dylan and the band. And then this was his follow-up album, Blood on the Tracks. Regarded by some as his best, by almost everyone, has been in his top three or four albums. And Tangled Up in Blue, even though it was the number one album in the country, this was the only hit, and it only charted at 31.
Well, so John's final lyrics, there's like 26 paragraphs of lyrics to this song.
Yeah. No, this is some of his best songwriting and some of his most influential songs on this album. You know, Idiot Wind was another. But check it out. Again, that's Bob Dylan, Blood on the Tracks, 50th anniversary this month on the John Carlson Show. We are ready for hour number three of the commute. Straight ahead, we get back to the 21st century right after this.
Got to play a little Darius Rucker here. Again, for our winner, John, as you shared, Darius Rucker used to be with Hootie and the Blowfish. September 21st, thefair.com. Use the code word radio today, everybody. You can get tickets in advance, pre-sale, before they go on sale Friday. The other weirdness to the song, Philip J.
Yeah?
Please fill in and tell John.
Well, we got a text message from KVI listener Perry in Bothell.
So you got that. Okay.
He said, did you purposely play the Hootie and the Blowfish song that references Bob Dylan's song Tangled Up in Blue? So you actually were giving two hints for today's lyrics of mystery.
Oh, sure. We planned that.
Yeah,
oh,
nice
yeah.
Try,
that's how
pal.
Good we are with a legend. Only Want to Be With You refers to your choice, hard-to-find Bob Dylan song that everybody's scratching their head like.
And that just happened to be part of the prize pack for today's legendary lyrics?
That
what are
is,
the chances of all of this?
That is a coincidence.
Yeah.
I mean, this entire contest is so serendipitous. this contest started as a lark and has become such a popular feature of the show. Yeah. And then this thing today.
Yeah. Kind of like when Phil used to be the producer
good
of your competition,
Perry
Dory Awesome. Monson. Well. I worked at an oldies good time rock and roll station, and John was one of my listeners. We'd never met. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, here we three are.
Perry, yeah. I wish we could take that much credit for that much forethought. But nope, this was all just dumb luck.
Yeah. But he's absolutely, Darius Rucker in that song, when he was playing with Hootie and the Blowfish, makes a reference to Tangled Up in Blue, which is one of Dylan's, you know, better songs. I mean, it's probably it always shows up on his top 10 best songs, and it is a gorgeous song. Yeah, and the songwriting is just extraordinary.
I will say again, you have the smartest listeners, our radio audience, John. Wow.
Most intelligent listening audience in the North Americas. That includes Mexico and the 51st state of Canada.
Great ears, Perry.
By the way, Chuck in Bremerton has a really good point. He says, why are people in the news media such hypocrites on snow days? They come to work and then tell the rest of us to stay home and lose a day's pay. Now, of course, we are the exceptions to the rule. We said, if you can stay home and you don't have to be, if you don't have to be where you're going, probably a good idea to stay home. But if you do go out, just an extra measure of caution.
Well, yeah. The other big
take
thing.
Take your time.
This is the big
careful.
Part, everybody.
Take your time.
John, Phil, and I are texting each other and on the road.
Yeah.
You know, I'm on the road at 2 a.m. You guys are kicking along at 2:30, and we're all communicating already. So there was nobody on my highway coming from Hook Canal. Not until I got to the Southworth Ferry that, you know, I started following semis and seeing the snow plows. But, you know, the regular commute, when it kicks in now at about 4:30 or 5, a lot of competition. And
so
like,
are they treating and sanding and salting Highway 3 at all?
Yeah, they are now.
They are, okay.
I saw more snow plows today. Yesterday I saw 5 downtown on the waterfront, barren wet.
Bremerton.
No, Seattle.
Oh, okay.
It was
sure.
Barren wet, and
yeah,
there was
the
5
Seattle side, that makes sense.
5 of the snowplows in Seattle of the,
I was
what,
trying to
16
figure out
we still have?
How extensive is the sanding, salting over there on the peninsula side.
Yeah. No, okay. they were kicking butt today. I will say that. Nice job, everybody, for me to get to work.
So we're getting some reaction from listeners on the comment thread about this story that, again, I can't believe how misleadingly it is being framed by the news media. Here's what happened. ICE is going out, just as Tom Homan said, and they're picking up people who are in the country illegally in three priorities. He's going after illegals who are criminals. He's going after illegals who are security risks. And he's going after illegals who have been ordered from the country by immigration judges. They received due process, and they just blew it off and ignored it and don't seem to think that the law applies to them. So a guy gets nabbed by ICE last week in South Whidbey Island. It was in the town of Langley. And if you know South Whidbey Island, it tends to be the blue part, the liberal part, the suburban Seattle part of the island. And the further north you go, you get up toward military country, the Naval Air Station there, Coopville, Oak Harbor. It's more conservative friendly. So this guy that ICE arrests is in South Whidbey. And the way the media are framing the story is not that he is arrested, but that he's the parent of a student. And the school district is rallying around the student. And they're assuring people, as the district superintendent wrote, "At South Whidbey, we will do everything we can to protect our students when they are at school, no matter their citizenship status." This has nothing to do with the student. Apparently, this guy that they arrested.
We don't even know if it's a guy, did they say? I think that's an easy assumption, but I don't know that it even says.
Let's see. I'm looking to.
And the story that I listened to, the story that TV put together, I didn't read through the copy that they posted on the website. But like I said, I think that might be the assumption, but I don't know if they delineate.
They have not identified the guy that they arrested.
It's possible it could be a woman, I think.
Yeah, but the bottom line here is that they're pulling the student into this like somehow ICE was, targeting the school.
Right, patrolling the school or something.
Look, every once in a while, a criminal that the police arrest, it's not every once in a while, it happens a lot, a criminal that the police arrest have kids. And when they make an arrest, whether it's the police picking up someone for an outstanding warrant, or it's sheriff's deputies, or it's, at the county level, or it's the state patrol arresting someone, or it's federal authorities, the FBI, ICE, U.S. Marshal, regardless. If they arrest someone who happens to be a parent, then, you could say the parent of a student at the local school district has been arrested. Well, it happens. It's unfortunate for the kid, but it happens. And so this whole thing, the school district is on alert. And they are now the school district who, by the way, says that the, quote, "It has come to our attention that one of our school parents has fallen victim to the immigration raids that have begun in our country. Our hearts go out to their spouse, children, and friends." What do you mean he's fallen or she's fallen victim? The law caught up with them. They're in the country illegally, probably committing crimes. That's the priority right now for ICE. And then this school district goes on to say, "It is our understanding that ICE officers are patrolling the area. You have rights under the U.S. Constitution." And the school board president said, "The communities rallied around those affected beautifully. and the district is doing everything it legally can to protect their students. Again, this has nothing to do with the students. And then the school board president says, one fantastic thing that people can do to prepare themselves is to download and print out red cards so that they know their rights. And here's what the red cards say. You have constitutional rights. Do not open the door if an immigration agent is knocking on the door. Do not answer any questions from an immigration agent if they try to talk to you. You have the right to remain silent. If you are outside your home, ask the agent if you're free to leave, and if they say yes, leave calmly. If you are inside your home, show this card through the window or slide it under the door. Again, here's the school district now trying to help people in the country illegally avoid people who are there to enforce immigration laws. So, again, this is again so outrageous when, to reiterate for about, I don't know, the 1,329th time, they are prioritizing the illegals that they're arresting by whether they are in the country illegally committing crime, whether they are in the country illegally and are a security risk, or whether they are in the country illegally and have been ordered out by an immigration judge and they've defied the order. This parent falls into one of those three categories. So it's just disgraceful how they're doing. And something, you know, a lot of people see through it. Jeff, who calls himself a political refugee from Washington, now living in Montana, listening to us on KVI.com, which you can do as well. KVI.com, get perfect reception all the time. Just go to KVI.com and click the Listen Live button. He said, this arrested suspect fell victim to a lawful and fully legal process. We've all been warned about this. Turning your back on the truth puts the truth behind you. Then you can no longer see. But it's still there. That's called reality. Pamela Lake Stevens says, remember, you can't choose your parents or their activities, legal or otherwise. Sounds like premeditated spin from the school district or the news media. Of course, make it into a parent-child school story. Right on, Pamela in Lake Stevens. This is the school district trying to spin this story. I guarantee you, the South Whidbey, which is as a notorious reputation as a woke liberal school district, South Whidbey, has had for years. I guarantee you that there have been parents of kids in that school district who have been arrested. And you have never seen the school district spring into action saying, a parent of one of our children has been arrested. Because instead of being arrested by the cops on a warrant or by the Island County Sheriff's Office or by federal authorities, no, they're arrested by federal immigration authorities. It just goes to show that these people who favor open borders want no enforcement, even though they're going after criminals, even though they are going after security risks, they are still trying to make it harder to catch those people. These school officials are not compassionate. These people are trying to keep a problem afoot in the United States. and keep it going. And you know what? Tom Homan, if you're listening, ignore them. Just ignore them. And by the way, if you know of an illegal who falls into one of those categories, call Immigration Customs Enforcement and let them know. Blow the whistle on these people, because Immigration Customs Enforcement, they want to get them out. They haven't been allowed to. They haven't been allowed to do their job for over 4 years. Now they are again. They're protecting us. They're protecting the community. They're protecting the integrity of the rule of law. And people on the left don't care about the rule of law if it doesn't advance their particular political agenda. That's why they make excuses for rioters, as long as they're rioting for one of their causes. If they're on the other side, we'll then throw the book at them. That's why they make excuses for anti-Semitic protests supporting Hamas. It's what they are all about, is the agenda comes first, the rule of law can wait. You are listening to the John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. You know, I've been asking this question for a while, since the arrests and deportations began after President Trump's inauguration, and that is, what changed that ICE officials were allowed to do their job again? Specifically now, what changed in how their office functions? Como's Jeremy Harris talked to the DEA, which does a lot of work in conjunction with ICE, because a lot of drug dealers, I hope the school superintendent and the school board president in the South Whidbey School District are aware of this. A lot of the worst drug dealers are in the country illegally. He chatted with someone from DEA about this. This is the Seattle office. Here we go.
How are things different now for your agents than they were before the new administration?
The DEA's focus on fentanyl hasn't changed. What has changed is this immigration authority that the DEA now possesses gives us another tool to combat fentanyl trafficking.
Special Agent in Charge David Reams of DEA Seattle says drug trafficking cases often intersect with people violating immigration laws.
A lot of the couriers involved in drug trafficking organizations are illegally present in the United States. Many of the mid-level and senior leadership of DTOs are also illegally present in the United States.
Talk to me about the northern border. What is the status of drug trafficking going across our border with Canada?
We don't see a great deal of narcotics trafficking transiting the northern border. That's really our main focus, is drugs coming out of Mexico, typically up I-5. That's the biggest threat in the region.
Yeah. Gee, I wonder if any of those drugs make their way to the students attending schools in South Whidbey. My guess is yes. Tom Homan, keep doing your job. Get these guys. Arrest them. Charge them if there's outstanding warrants. And after they've served their sentence, get them out of here. If they've already served their sentence, again, get them out of here. If they're just here, you know, illegally and have criminal records from other countries, get them out of here. You're doing your job. The American people are behind you. People who put political agendas ahead of what's best for this country, they are not on your side, but who cares? Who cares? Do your job and know that the vast majority of the American people have your back. They are 100% behind you. 21 minutes after 8, you know what that means. Philip J. Vandervoort III right around the corner, the social media sweep as the commute with Carlson continues. Talk Radio 570 KVI. Okay. I mean, as boomers go, we're kids.
Yeah, but I just think of, you know, we were like the generation that got into the MTV thing.
Yes, very much so.
We'd sit there for 12 hours and watch, wow, look at this video.
Welcome back to the John Carlson Show. It is 26 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock in the morning. Philip J. Vandervoort III with his favorite segment of the day, social media from socialists. Let's hear it, Phil.
This goes back to one of our top stories this morning. This is the comment Donald Trump made yesterday at a joint press conference in Washington, D.C. with the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu about what the U.S. could do in Gaza. The social media sweep sponsored by Muckleshoot Casino Resort. And on the floor of the United States House of Representatives, a Democrat from Texas, he's from the Houston area, Al Green, got on the floor and gave these words because he is upset with what Trump said yesterday.
And injustice in Gaza is a threat to justice in the United States of America. I rise to announce that the movement to impeach the president has begun.
Oh, okay.
Oh, well, all right.
2 weeks? Two days already?
As we talked about earlier on the show, there are no shortage of problems and flaws with what Donald Trump suggested yesterday.
Yeah.
We could go relitigate that if we wanted to. If you missed our first hour of the show, it was early on. You can always check out what you miss on any part of John's show on our website, KVI.com. Just go to the podcast tab, and we post the summary of every show. Each morning after the show, usually get it up around 11 o'clock in the morning. But you can go listen to what we discussed earlier in the show about this and why that makes the comments by the Congressman Al Green there.
Yeah, I liked him better when he was doing soul music in the 70s exactly. Before he went into politics.
Also, not the same Al Green, but thank you. Here's a couple of comments from somebody who is a the profile on X, their social media handle says political strategist, 16-year elected office. I don't know what that means, but it says Blue Wave Party Chair radio host named Chris Jackson. Chris Jackson posted about these comments by Trump and the U.S. Going into Gaza or owning it, as Trump said yesterday. Trump just proposed expelling all Palestinians from Gaza and having the U.S. occupy it. That's really a gross oversimplification of what was said. It's really not even an accurate way to do it. But, you know, this is what people do on social media from time to time. And then he follows it up with, how the hell does talking over or taking over Gaza lower the price of eggs in the United States? So the same person added that comment as well. So good to see that they're now fully focusing on the price
I
to
happen
consumers.
To know eggs are less expensive in Gaza.
Yeah.
Maybe. We take over and then we export cheap eggs back to the United States. Don't you see the long game here?
And then I want to end with this one. This came up in a CNN interview, and it involved, is it the congresswoman or it's a senator? Sarah McBride is the trans member of Congress.
House member. House
it is a House member. Okay. So Sarah McBride was speaking on CNN about this USAID, United States Agency for International Development, all this frivolous amount of money that gets sent around the world for any number of agendas that do really not reflective of what taxpayers want and need in the United States. And the congresswoman explained how Elon Musk dismantling of USAID is a test run for Republicans to attack Social Security and Medicaid programs.
Yeah, right.
And I was thinking to myself, wow, you have to be joking me. This is a 5-yard penalty for reaching. How do you jump from taxpayer protection against pork barrel spending to killing Social Security?
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, I would say this, if there was any intellectual honesty in this equation, Democrats like this individual that spoke on CNN from Delaware, Democrats who fail to understand the financial fragility that we've got with Social Security right now, they should be the ones demanding DOGE and USAID save as much money as possible because Social Security is going to be broke soon.
Yes.
And money's got to go into Social Security from somewhere.
It is aiming toward insolvency. It no longer is a pay-as-you-go program. And that's a very good point. That's all the more reason to start finding ways to save money in the federal budget, because that money will be needed for Medicaid and Social Security. All right, you're listening to the John Carlson Show. It is 31 minutes after 8 o'clock. Wait until you hear the unhinged rants by another Maxine Waters, your favorite member of Congress, going after Trump and Elon. And we're playing it because it's, frankly, comedy at this point. It is 23 minutes to 9 o'clock. Man, the time is just flown by.
It happens when you're stuck in snow. It's well, just sitting around like, okay.
We've got a lot of people north of Everett who are stuck right now. I-5, got a couple of lanes closed up there. Near
just
Marysville.
One. Right-hand lane blocked, northbound I-5, north of 116th Street, milepost 204. So the right lane is blocked off. They got a couple of tow trucks on the scene and the trucks with the arrows flashing for you to get over. But they've kind of converted traffic over onto the left shoulder, so two lanes are getting by there. But that's one of the blocking accidents we've got right now. And I had seen a traffic pattern a little bit earlier, maybe it was an hour ago, but westbound Highway 2, Monroe into Snohomish, and then probably across the trestle into Everett was really, really slow earlier. And I think it has been snowing in that area from the mouth of the Snohomish River Delta back towards Marysville, Lake Stevens, and probably Snohomish
Kitsap Peninsula,
far this morning.
Kitsap Peninsula, and Phil pointed out to me at 1:30 this morning, really bad Bremerton, clear down the Shelton area. John, did you ever think, and Phil, we'd ever get to a day where school's closed today, but at-home learning will be starting two hours late?
Yeah.
And I'm, wow. We were gifted to have these
Get on the laptop, kid.
That brings back haunting memories of what education was like in this country 5 years ago.
No snow day, basically.
Right.
Just basically, go to your computer.
At home learning 2 hours late, so kids have a great day. You're about ready to get ready for school there on the dining table.
By the way, we are learning more about the accused shooter in Sweden. Mass shooter killed 10 people.
This is yesterday, right?
This was yesterday in Örebro, Sweden. That's in the Vastaga district of that country, where the Carlson family originated from.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah. Rickard Andersson, age 35, who killed himself as authorities closed in on him, was described as a withdrawn loner, unemployed, and, quote, having a tough time. When you see his face, and this is the last time I will mention him because we don't like to publicize mass shooters, it's that same vacant look in the eyes that you often see when shooters are photographed, when they display pictures of shooters. He supposedly grew up in the area, in the good part of town, prosperous neighborhood, graduated high school with okay grades, and, quote, he used to have a friend he hung out with a lot, but not now. He wants to be by himself. He doesn't seem to like people. That is, the shooter had little contact with his parents, who are out traveling a lot. He possessed a firearms license, which you need in Sweden. And again, they said he killed at least 10. Now they've raised that to 11. It was at a school, but it was an adult education facility. They currently have 3 women and 2 men, all with gunshot wounds, who have undergone surgery in serious but stable condition. He apparently was just firing randomly. So when we learn more, of course, we will pass that information to you. But so much going on that a lot of other stories that would be front page news, headline above of the fold, are often on the back burner, secondary stories. Here's a story that I predict is going to get a lot more attention than it's getting right now. Seattle Children's Hospital has postponed a 16-year-old girl's masculinizing surgery. She was going to have her perfectly healthy breasts sliced off. They postponed the surgery hours before it was scheduled in order to comply with Donald Trump's executive order that targets gender-affirming care. Boy, talk about a euphemism for maiming teenage kids. Under the age of 19. The family says it's unclear if the procedure would be rescheduled. The family said that hospital staff called their 16-year-old, air quotes, son, meaning daughter, who wants to be a boy, Monday evening and explained the hospital had postponed his surgery to comply with President Trump's executive order banning all federal support for gender-affirming care for trans people under the age of 19. Hospitals that refuse to comply with this executive order risk losing their federal funding. Seattle Children's gets quite a bit of it. The family says they were told during a meeting with surgical center staff yesterday morning that if the hospital lost access to those federal funds, other children's health care would be at risk, and the decision was made with the entire community's interest in mind. Seattle Children's Hospital is not responding to multiple requests for comment. Just after 5 p.m., on Monday, the surgery department called Ethan, a trans teen, and said that his, again, I love this, his masculinizing chest reconstruction surgery, i.e., his surgery to slice off her perfectly healthy breasts, had been postponed on account of the order. They offered a therapist, but Ethan declined because, quote, he is a she, was on the bus home from school. Ethan feared that this would happen after reading the executive order last week, but hospital staff had assured him that the procedure he'd waited for years would proceed as planned. So, this girl is 16, and she has waited for years to have her breasts removed? And then, of course, the family heard back from the hospital. And staff told her they were not aware that surgeries had been canceled. They told her to wait by the phone, never called back, and then Ethan noticed that her surgery had vanished from the online patient portal, MyChart. The hospital has not publicly stated a new policy on, quote, gender-affirming care. Why was Children's Hospital doing these operations in the first place? You know, curing a sick child, you know, curing a child with breast cancer by removing breasts. Okay, fine. Yes, that's why we have children's hospitals. But this kind of surgery is abusive and should not be allowed. Of course, the Washington State Attorney General's office says, Quote, in addition to our disgust with how this action cruelly targets marginalized communities, our office is looking into the legality of the order. Close quote. Yeah, well, it's legal. And thank goodness that this kind of awfulness is finally stopping. It shouldn't have taken an executive order to get Seattle Children's Hospital to call off these surgeries. Shouldn't have taken an executive order. Thank you, President Trump. We have seen so much positive change. And the idea of a teenager saying that they identify as someone of the opposite gender, which often happens, gender confusion sometimes happens, sexual confusion sometimes happens, orientation misgivings sometimes happens, but that you would do something so drastic and so irreversible to a 14, 15, 16-year-old. Again, that's just so abusive. So, again, we are seeing the kind of change we have needed in this country for a long time. And more of it, please. Can we see more of this kind of progress? It is 8:48. You're listening to The John Carlson Show, Talk Radio 570 KVI. Tigers on a gold leash, we don't care. We aren't caught up in your love affair. And we'll never be royal. It's a run in our blood. That kind of luck's just ain't for us. We crave a different kind of buzz. Let me be your
time, why you all away?
Back we are, the John Carlson Show. It is 7 minutes to 9 o'clock on the commute. You know, one other sign that Donald Trump is doing all the right things, he's enraging all the right people. Latest example, Maxine Waters, California Congresswoman. Even though she lives in a rather pricey neighborhood, she represents South Central Los Angeles. Here, she's upset about Donald Trump, and she absolutely hates Elon Musk as well. Have a listen.
You've made enough money off our government yourself, and now you want to take everybody else's payroll and make sure that they don't make the kind of money that you've made. Oh, you want to use our money to go to Mars? No, we want to use our money right here in Washington, D.C., in this country. We want to make sure that all of our federal employees are protected.
Oh, yeah.
We've got
a nice
to make
buyout.
Sure that you know and understand nobody elected you. You think you're the President of the United States of America, the co-president that can take over, go into our private payment system, and do whatever you want to do. You got another thought coming. We're going to stop you right now.
No, you're not. No, you're not going to stop what is happening. What is happening is a long-time grift. In Washington, D.C., we really are now seeing the swamp slowly being drained. We really are seeing this long-time grift where federal agencies are commandeered by people who, instead of the purpose, ostensible purpose for which that agency exists being served, now they use it to funnel money to politically allied organizations, and who knows how much gets kicked back. So, Maxine, your world is going away. It needed to go away a long time ago, and the sooner it goes away, the better. It's all the time we have for now. I could use a nice bowl of hot soup or an Irish coffee.
Hot chocolate and cookies, come on.
Talk again tomorrow, 21 hours. Be careful out there.